Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Welcome back, people, to the second hour of Blood River Radio. That's right, you're listening to Blood River Radio. We're the hottest. I've been told by several people here that we are the hottest radio station going right now. And I guess it's called, some people call it the extreme right, and I call it the Patriot Movement. But you're listening to us, Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller, just in case you're just turning into the second hour. We had a dynamite first hour. In case you are tuning in, like I said, I'll repeat myself, we are broadcasting live from right slap dab in the middle of the beautiful northwestern Arkansas Ozark Mountains. We were here at the National Conference of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, and it is September the 5th in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2020. And so with that out of the way, we're going to proceed. We have an evangelist in here. He was here last year. He's here this year. He has a beautiful Confederate shirt on. It's a red shirt. He's wearing a Confederate flag, a Confederate battle flag. And his name, I'm going to call him Evangelist Steve. He doesn't explain to me the difference between a pastor and an evangelist. He's an evangelist. And pastor, if you will, tell him your name. Tell him where you live. Sure. Well, you don't have to tell him. Just tell him what part of, you don't have to tell him where you live because the wrong people might be living.
That's not a problem. My name is Steve Kukla, Kukla. It's a Polish name. And we live in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We've lived there since 1978. And I don't know when I first realized that I love to sing, but I always have. And that's how our ministry started, was just, thank you. My love for singing. And when I was fortunate enough to meet my beautiful wife of 48 years as of September 2nd. We hit it off right away. She's got a beautiful alto harmony, and we've been singing together at meetings. I'm not hearing myself in the headphones.
You're fine.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. And we've been singing together and traveling and ministering since 1976, so it's been quite some time. And we met Pastor Rob, it's been probably a couple of decades ago. I don't know when the first year was that we got together. He came over to our little church over in Tulsa, and we got together then, and we've been here faithfully at least twice a year ever since, and we anticipate with great joy the next meeting. Of course, you know, this COVID thing kind of threw a lot of us into a tailspin back in the spring, because we had one of the busiest months scheduled for us, and everything got canceled. But so we're even more eager to be here at this time and ministering with these wonderful people. You know, people have an image of the KKK that is really off, way off, because, and now, It may be that way in some places, but this is a family group that is par excellence. I mean, I couldn't compare it more favorably to anything else that we've seen or been a part of.
I agree. I've been here 2 years, and I've seen the salt of the earth people, Steve.
And I want to talk a little bit about what we call the Confederate flag, because it's been attacked again. NASCAR has done away with it, and it's insane. Most people don't understand the history of this symbol. It goes back to Genesis chapter 48, and I'd encourage everybody to get your Bible, make a note of this, read Genesis chapter 48, because it'll describe exactly how this symbol came to be. Jacob Israel, who is our forefather, when he first met his two grandsons, of his son Joseph. If you remember your Bible stories and know a little bit about Bible history, Joseph was the one that his brothers sold into slavery. And he ended up in Egypt, ended up in prison because of a situation which was totally contrived by Pharaoh's wife at the time. or a Potiphar's wife, I should say, and she got him thrown in prison. And in the prison, he actually interpreted some dreams that two men who were on Pharaoh's right hand, if you will, he predicted correctly that both would come out. One would reassume his position as the Pharaoh's cupbearer, and the other would be hung. And that happened, and Joseph pleaded with at least one of them to make sure that Pharaoh knew about him. Well, exactly. And Joseph finally came out. Okay. Yeah. The butler got blessed, and the baker was the one that went, had his head removed. And so it happened just as Joseph had said. But Joseph was in that prison. But get this. Joseph was so responsible that they made him the head trustee, if you will. And he was in charge of the whole prison. And finally what brought him... Okay. Back off the mic. Okay. Finally what brought him out... Okay. Finally what brought him out was that Pharaoh had a dream. And Pharaoh had a dream that ended up being, for want of time here, ended up being a vision of seven lean years, or seven prosperous years and seven lean years. And the one who interpreted the dream for Pharaoh was Joseph, because the butler finally remembered, hey, this guy in the prison interpreted a dream for me. And so they got him out, cleaned him up, brought him before Pharaoh, and he gave the interpretation of Pharaoh's dream so accurately that Pharaoh made him viceroy, in other words, second in command to the Pharaoh himself. And so Joseph was made an administrator of all of Egypt. Well, in the meantime, his family, all his 11 brothers and his father, had migrated, if you will, to Goshen, which was the fertile area of the land of Egypt. And his brothers went cap in hand to what they didn't recognize was Joseph.
Correct.
And they were actually begging for
grain,
sustenance. Yes. And Joseph didn't reveal himself just then. In fact, they were there without their youngest brother, Benjamin. And so Joseph inquired of them, said, well, don't you have another brother? Of course, he knew they did. And they were reluctant to say so, but they felt like they had to be honest. And so they come back to their father, and their father, oh, he agonized over that, because he didn't want Benjamin to go back in that situation, because he didn't know if he'd ever see me. He was convinced Joseph was dead, because the brothers had brought back this coat that was actually soaked in blood, but it wasn't Joseph's blood. It was animal blood. So he was convinced it was over. Well, long story short, Genesis chapter 48, these children that Joseph... Okay, sorry. All right. These children that Joseph had in Egypt, he brought to Jacob Israel, his father, and, of course, for the father's blessing. And the right-hand blessing, the main blessing, should have gone to the elder. But when those boys were guided by Joseph's hands to their grandfather, he up and crossed his arms. Now, think of that. It's an X. He crossed his arms, and his right-hand blessing went to the younger, which was Ephraim. Ephraim, again, long story short, Ephraim became Great Britain, basically, and Manasseh became the United States. Now, Manasseh's name means forgetful, and aren't we not a forgetful people? We seem to have a very short memory when it comes especially to spiritual things. But this was such a miracle. So when you see this, what we call the battle flag, the cross, the X-shaped cross with the stars in it, that goes actually back to Genesis 48. And I've even seen some of the representations of that flag, which originally was square. The rectangular one, which we see, was actually a naval jacket, flew on ships. But the square one, a lot of the early iterations had the large star in the center. And what that represented is the Lord Jesus Christ and all the 12 tribes coming into the center.
Was that the like the Bonnie Blue?
No, the Bonnie Blue was a single white star on a blue background. This was actually what we call the Confederate flag,
yes,
the stars and bars, if you will. And this is a wonderful history, and we need to get more connected with our real history.
Yes, we do. We're almost at the break. I'm going to go ahead and call you pastor.
That's fine.
But he is. I'll tell you what, if he's not a pastor of a big church, I won't say he should be, because he is where God wants him to be. He is a marvelous witness for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because he was here last year. He's here this year.
Yes.
I'm telling you, he is the real deal. I love him so much, like a brother, and everyone do. And thank you so much for being on tonight, Steve.
All right.
Thank you. And people, I tell you what, he's one of the Steve's. I'm going to go ahead and say Pastor Steve's one of the many super high quality people we hear tonight. Thank you so much for being here.
You are Steve. More than welcome. It's been a pleasure and honor to
yes,
be
sir.
On it's Blood River Radio.
Well, people, we're getting ready. We're going to get Dr. Hill up next. He's going to be front and center. He's with the League of the South. And just hang on for a second. I'm gonna chew the fat while we get Dr. Hill in here. Thank you so much, Steve.
You're welcome.
Pastor Dave. And so we're down with Lady O Dr. Hill. Hey, Steve, when you go out there, tell Dr. Hill, come on in. Tell him he's next. Well, people, like you say, once again, we are right here in the center of the Ozark Mountains of Arkansas. And Matt and I we've been walking on a red carpet. These people have been treating us like we're the king of England. They've been treating us like royalty. And matter of fact, we are the only people that's ever been in this breed right here that's not a member of the Ku Klux Klan. We're the only radio station that's been here. In fact, they're going to make this the Blood River Radio Suite. With that, hang on your seat. We're going to come back. We're going to have Dr. Michael Hill himself on. We'll be right back. Hang on, people. Thank you.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
This is Attorney Jason Ruff, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
People, we're right back. Excuse me for having some dead air there. I had to stop to go get some water. It's pretty hot here, kind of dehydrated. But anyway, you're listening to Blood River Radio, September the 5th, the year of our Lord, 2020, Labor Day weekend. We have none other than Dr. Hill himself. He is the head of the League of the South. And we're going to go to him right now, and I'm going to ask him a few questions. Here you go, Dr. Hill. We're a little bit cramped here, and I'm having to reach around a lot of stuff. That's why we're having this little bit of extraneous noise right here. But, Doc, you're fine. Anyway, like I say, Dr. Hill is here, and I'm going to give you a little explanation. As a matter of fact, I'm going to let him do the explanation. Dr. Hill, tell us about most of our audience on Blood River Radio. Most of them are pretty familiar with the circumstances of the League of the South, and you being the head of the League of the South and Michael Hill being your second in command, tell the people what's going on with this Charlottesville suit that these atheist Jews are bringing against us in Charlottesville. Go ahead.
Well, it is a bunch of atheist Jews that have filed suit against us. It's a big Jew law firm out of New York. The plaintiffs are about a dozen people from Charlottesville who claimed injury, physical or emotional, from the so-called riot that we started in Charlottesville, and we are the target of a civil suit seeking a very large judgment for conspiring to riot and to violating the civil rights of these Negroes and Jews up in Charlottesville. And we were set to go to trial in late October, but I was informed by my attorney very recently that the judge is going to postpone the trial yet again, and by the middle of this month we should know something about when it's going to be rescheduled. So,
hey, Dr. Hill, if you will, most of our audience probably already knows, but tell them the establishment's reasons why the League of the South, you being the head of the League of the South, ask them why they're trying to bring you in. And I know I'll let you go, but I'm sure they're trying to destroy the league. But tell them, what's their pretenses?
Well, their pretenses, I mean, it's an open admission. I mean, Roberta Kaplan, who was the head attorney for the Jew law firm that's suing us, has said on numerous occasions publicly that their goal is to bankrupt the organizations and individuals that were in the streets in Charlottesville there. And that's their goal. And one reason they're after us is because I think they think that we are the biggest, and to some degree we're one of the only ones left standing after Charlottesville, and that's a testimony to the quality of our membership.
Yes.
Including yourself.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Hill.
You know, we don't have a lot of quitters in the league. Now, we did lose some people. We lost some people who thought, well, maybe I personally will get tied up in this lawsuit. Maybe I'll have something to lose. And, man, they were running for the hills. But, you know, sometimes you have to get stronger by getting rid of some, you know, dead wood and weak places in your organization.
Lord knows, Dr. Hill, we got more dead wood than good wood. And I'm just going to interject this. I was telling Dr. Hill before he came down here, one thing that just infuriates me is for us, and I'm not picking on younger people, but especially someone to say, oh, well, Joe Blow, he would love to come to your defense. He would love to join in. But you know what? He's got a pretty white house, a white picket fence. He's got a dog and three beautiful kids and beautiful wife, four beautiful kids. He's got a vacation. He's got a nice 401k. He would love to help, but he's got too much to lose. But let's just go ahead, you know, old burned out Vietnam vets and old 34-year-old truck drivers and guys like Dr. Hill, he's getting older. They don't have nothing to lose. We can just go ahead and get their head shot off. It won't matter. We can just, like, send them in, you know, $5 a year and tell them, oh, good luck. But don't use our name, for God's sakes. Have you run into any of that, Dr. Hill?
Yeah, I've run into a lot of that. And it's not just from younger guys who have got a lot to lose like that. I've seen a lot of older guys who say, you know, I worked all my life. I got this big retirement. I got an RV and, you know, a boat. And I'm really set, want to enjoy my retirement. And the last thing I want to do is get out and risk anything in the streets. So, yeah, I see that from people of all ages. And, yeah, man, I'll give you $5 and I'll come to your funeral.
That's right. And we'll only say some nice things about you if they don't know who I am.
I'll say good things about
you. That's for sure. Well, you know, we were supposed to have that court case up there I think you said it was the 26th, wasn't it, Dr. Hill?
Yeah, it was supposed before to be the 26th, starting the 26th of October and running through about mid-November, but we don't know when it'll be now, so probably 2021.
We're hoping and praying, and y'all people out there, if you will, if you're praying people, please pray for Dr. Hill. If you're not, start. You know, there is a God in heaven. I can attest to you. I came to Jesus late in life, but I can guarantee you that there is a Jesus Christ in heaven. And I'm going to tell you what. I wish they would call me to testify in court. Well, maybe not. They'd probably get us both in jail. But I would tell the audience, if it were not for this man I'm looking at right here in the studio, I'm going to tell you what. We had some tough men there in the League of the South. And if Dr. Hill had snapped his fingers, we would have been like attack dogs. We would have been like Tim's attack dog. We would have tore the living hell out of those little boys, those little mindless atheist cowards up there. We'd have kicked the living hell out of them. The blood would have been 3 inches deep, 3 feet deep in the streets. But no, Dr. Hill saved their sorry butt. Not only that, he saved some of our butts, too, but not letting us get mixed up to it. But he saved lives. He went up there. I'm going to tell you one more thing, too, before I shut up. We were there exercising our God-given rights. We had a court order from a federal judge saying we were allowed to go in, and to quote Dr. Hill before, we were walking down Market Street, I believe it was, like free men, open to foot traffic, to exercise our right of freedom of assembly, to assemble with the people we want to assemble with, to honor one of the greatest, probably the greatest American to ever live, General Robert E. Lee. And you know what? The whole damn thing has been turned upon us. The media is nothing but lie, total liars, but I'm getting too long with the tooth. Well, back to you, Dr. Hill. Let me ask you this. If we had to do it over again, would you do it?
Oh, hell yeah, 1,000 times. I'd like to clarify something, too. It wasn't me who saved anybody. It was our people. People like Mike Tubbs, who was out there, you know, on the front lines along with me and a lot of other of our people with the in our group of warriors with the shields and others who were there, and they deserve the credit. I don't deserve it. Our men, as one of my good friends tells me from time to time, were men amongst men. Hey, let me say something else to y'all, too. You know, I covet your prayers. I appreciate your prayers. But look, send me some money. Send me some money. And it's not for me, Michael Hill. It's for the League of the South. It's for all of these people who had the guts to stand up in the streets of Charlottesville against, probably 1,000 communists and anarchists. And we have all of our money accounted for. Not a penny goes to anything but what it's dedicated to, and that is our legal fund. So far, we've had about $60,000 worth of legal expenses to our attorney, and we'll probably have another 40 or 50 if this goes to trial. So we need money.
They have got a $10 million $10 million team, if I'm not mistaken, Dr. Hill.
Our attorney estimated that the enemy has a legal fund of probably $10 million, although they're going through it pretty quickly.
That lawyers tend to do that. Lawyers tend to do that. They most certainly do. Well, you know what, Dr. Hill? As crazy as things are, I wouldn't even. Would you, I would I, instead of me saying I'm going to ask you a question. Instead of me telling people to do, especially younger people right now, 40 or less, what advice would you give them to prepare for the coming? I believe it's a lead pipe century. There's going to be a civil war. Especially, do you think this next election, Dr. Hill, is going to lead to a civil war in America?
Well, I think we already have a civil war that's broken out. It's already being fought. The problem is that, for the most part, only one side has realized that yet and is fighting it. But if I was a young man, 30 years old or so, I would develop my skills. I would get the tools I needed. I would find some people that I trusted to work with, you know, three or four other men who felt the same way. And I would learn my area of operations. I would make a plan. I would carry that plan out, and then I'd keep my mouth shut.
Thank you so much. People, we just got through speaking to Dr. Hill. He's the president, the leader of the League of the South, and we've got to go to another break. We've got two more segments up. We're going to get some more beautiful people on here. Thank you so much for listening to Blood River Radio. We'll be right back after this break.
liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
I would not trust Donald Trump, and it would have to be a credible source of information.
Democratic vice presidential nominee Kamala Harris making those comments regarding any potential coronavirus vaccine. Harris, continuing on CNN, was asked about scientists and the FDA having the final word on the vaccine.
If past is prologue, that they will not. They'll be muzzled. They'll be suppressed. They will be sidelined.
Those comments do contradict what Dr. Anthony Fauci said on Thursday, where he said a coronavirus vaccine would not be released publicly if it weren't safe. Oregon Democratic Governor Kate Brown says she hasn't sent the National Guard troops to Portland to quell the continued unrest there because she believes they're not trained for the job or needed. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn-Root. Are you in need of a healthcare program? You're in luck. As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year with membership starting as early as the following month. There are no contracts or commitments. There is no network, so you choose your own doctors and hospitals. Starting as low as $349 per month, Liberty HealthShare has programs for singles, couples, and families of any size. I joined, I'm a member, my four children are members. Liberty HealthShare saves me $18,000 each year compared to what I was paying for health insurance. Liberty HealthShare is a non-profit ministry. It is not insurance. Your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You could feel good knowing you're part of the community of like-minded individuals who come together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY, 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 or go to libertyhealthshare.org/WayneRoot. That's libertyhealthshare.org/WayneRoot.
That's the sound of many boats taking part in a boat parade for President Trump in New Jersey. Boat parades like this have been happening all across the country. President Trump with no public events scheduled on Saturday. Same thing for Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden, although Kamala Harris and Vice President Mike Pence will both be in Wisconsin on Monday. 11 people were arrested and 3 officers were injured late Friday during protests and rioting in Rochester, New York, over the death of Daniel Prude. According to an autopsy, Prude died in March from complications of asphyxia and the settling of physical restraint. Video footage from the city shows a bus stop being lit on fire. Video out of Rochester also shows protesters shutting down restaurants by smashing tables and harassing patrons into leaving. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you have to say somebody.
Welcome back, and thank you for staying with us. Up next, we have a very special guest that's very dear to our Blood River Radio hearts, because this individual is actually a Charlottesville brother with us. We really appreciate everything he's done for our people, and I'd like to introduce Tom Bowie to the audience. Tom, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing fairly well. Everything's going good so far.
Now, let me ask you, what's your position here?
Here I help out at the church as much as I can and with the Klan. Basically, I was called here in a way because what I saw was good people.
Yeah, and you said you were called here. Called from where?
Diversity in Maryland. Oh, it was so diverse.
Yeah, we've talked about this. You might have asked what city or...
La Plata, Maryland. Charles County, Southern Maryland, about an hour and a half outside of D.C.
Folks, this is the original place of what we know as the Mason-Dixon Line area. Maryland, Delaware, Pennsylvania. I mean, just the heartland of America at that time when those lines were drawn up. I mean, we've got a gentleman here who literally had to flee from diversity. And it's really sad that Americans are having to flee what we knew of as the heartland at that time. What do you think about that?
Yeah, part of my clue that I needed to get out wasn't just that I had to build a taller and taller fence to keep the diversity from burning my house or robbing me. Part of it was the legislature of Maryland voted to no longer be a southern state, but to be an eastern state, to reject their heritage.
That's a shame. And a lot of Marylanders probably didn't even realize their heritage at that time. What happened with Abraham Lincoln actually sending military in to arrest the parliament or the their Congress at that time, the state Congress. So I said parliament. My mind is going to South Africa because when you said you had to build a fence taller and taller, when I went to South Africa, that is exactly what I witnessed there. Those people had to build 8-foot tall fences around their houses. Describe what that's like to most Americans who don't understand.
At first, your fence, it just offers you a little bit of comfort, but you realize it's not real protection. And as you build on it more and more, as it becomes higher, it becomes your prison walls. You have to lock yourself up to keep the bad out.
That's exactly what's going on in South Africa. Those people are, every household has this massive fence around. They can no longer see any scenery, any trees, any mountains, any rivers that run by, any animals. They can't see any of that. It's just like a prison, as he described, and that's how they live, day in and day out, scared to actually go outside of the prison walls that they've built around themselves. And what else can they do? The other option is to die or to leave your home. And unfortunately, for South Africans, there's nowhere to leave to. People say, why don't you leave the country and give up your homeland? No, that's not an option, people. That is not an option. And fortunately, Tom Bowie here, it was an option because there was cities on a hill in other places, right?
Yes, sir.
How'd you see this place?
Believe it or not, I was drawn here initially by an anti-white. I saw videos of Mayor Crockett promoting diversity, and then it outraged me. And then it outraged me enough to take action that he was basically using his office to force diversity, but there were good people fighting. And that's what drew me. The good people needed at least one more voice. Even if it was old and shaky, every little bit helps.
And the people in this area, have they accepted the Christian Revival Center as a force for good?
For the most part, yes. Even those who don't hold with its ideals, most of them will tell you, Pastor Rob causes no trouble. He doesn't do what the other side does. They've threatened to burn things with flamethrowers and brought the flamethrowers with them.
That's a shame. And the local law enforcement, do they stand up with you?
Yes. The last time such an event came, they were out in full force, including reserves and volunteers from various law enforcement in other counties and towns, just to help out.
Well, that's interesting. So let me ask you this. You say you help out around the grounds here, and I can see that you do really good work. But you're not just that. You're also a role model of inspiration for a lot of these people. They actually had you speaking earlier. Would you tell the audience the theme of your speech was?
It was, in a way, taking back your community, volunteering, becoming a part of it, helping your people. A little over 3 years ago, I was asked to join the volunteer fire department, And somehow or another, I became chief just over a year ago.
Well, congratulations. And it's a well-earned title indeed, because I know your character and what you've done around here. Let me ask you this. Do you look at it as complete contrast to what these Antifa stand for?
Yeah, I can't see any of them willing to risk anything to help anyone or even inconvenience themselves.
Right. And these people, in my estimation, they basically want to destroy. They want to steal, kill, and destroy. You can't build in a society of decay and destruction when people are wanting to destroy. And here you have a gentleman that is talking about the joining up with the volunteer fire departments across America and preserving the heritage and the legacy that was left to us. I think it's really impressive. It's a good role to fulfill. I never thought of firefighting like a blessing toward the community, but it really is. I mean, the people, it's a old American trade that goes back. Just can you tell the audience about the state of when you took over as chief, the state of the equipment there?
It hadn't been in. Well, when we first joined the fire department and slowly gained access to it, nothing had been upkept to a point of operational. We had only one out of seven fire trucks that ran. The first two fires we put out were wildland fires, and we used buckets, rakes, and shovels.
Amazing. How's that for community service? Folks, I want you to understand, this is stuff you can do too. It's volunteer fire department. Volunteer. Anyone can do this, right?
Yeah. Particularly in areas out of the way, they don't have new equipment. And because our society is going downhill, our compassion has led to apathy from the propaganda. You don't see many young people, but that's something that's much needed. Our department has been lucky. We've got two young EMTs.
Okay.
That's more than most volunteer fire departments anywhere around.
That's amazing. You were given an interesting fact or statistic. What do you know about it?
In volunteer fire departments, the average age is 68 to 70. The two major causes of death are heart attack and stroke. Our young people haven't been raised in a proper society where they step in as they used to.
That's unspeakable horror to my ears. The average age of volunteer fire department is 68. To 70. That's can you imagine this, people? We desperately need young people to step in and start being a servant to their communities. And in doing so, you will share the love of Christ and grow our movement. And you'll make new friends, interesting friends. We'll be right back, folks. We got another guest or two that we're going to bring on. Thank you for staying with us, and go get some coffee.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, "If those people," referring to the dictatorial federal government, "if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home." As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church, a congregation of God's covenant people. Informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Go ahead. Make my day.
My day has been made being with these great folks out here. We've got a very special guest that we really want to introduce as just a warrior for our people. Welcome Tim Venable to the show. Tim, thank you for being here.
All right. Thank you, sir.
So what is it that you do in specific? I kind of want to not tell our audience. I want you to tell them. What group are you with?
Well, I'm with the League of the South. And what we do with the League of the South, we're the premier Southern nationalist organization. And here comes Eddie with some food.
He's singing a song for our hearts.
No, the League of the South, we're the premier Southern nationalist organization. We do more than anybody else ever has. We stand for the Southern people, and we stand for Southern nationalism and Southern values and everything that our people believe. And that's what's most important to our people. Is Southern values, Southern morals, and so forth.
Tim, describe the term blood and soul.
Well, if we don't talk about blood and soul, the blood is, the blood is in our people, and the soul is our Dixieland. It's very important to our people.
Oh, well, I agree. And our ancestors are buried here. This is their land that they wanted to give to who?
Yeah, well, it's for our people. The same thing. That our ancestors, they bled and died. For the future of their people, and stuff. And so here we are today, and we want to preserve everything. For our people, for generation to generation to generation. It's the legacy that our people leave behind them.
Would you say the number one problem in our country is that our people have lost control of the right to govern themselves?
Yeah, I think that our people have lost the control to govern themselves. But we need states' rights, and we need protection and stuff, for individual freedoms and stuff with our people and things. And our people need to be represented, within their own state. If California wants to do what California wants to do, then that's fine. But at the same time, with our state, we need to be able to do what we do with our state. And our state needs to have states' rights. Our state needs to have its own individual freedoms, within its own state, its own entity and stuff. And our people need to be able to govern themselves within their own state. If California or New York or what the hell ever it is wants to do what they want to do, that's fine. But our state needs to be able to do what they want to do and God himself, sir.
Amen. We said earlier in the broadcast, we weren't in here, but we said one of the biggest, easiest things to see right now is that we're being controlled by the values of New York. I can think of no better example than this stinking fake coronavirus episode escapade they're pulling on everybody. It's a fraud. It's fake. It's designed to destroy you. And where did all the stories come at out of America? That cursed state, New York's. New York City, Cuomo, all that crap is a New York Yankee diabolical scheme to destroy us. And sorry, that's a little rabbit trail, but I want to ask you a question about our people. Who are the people that the League of the South is appealing to, especially?
The League
right,
of the
right
South?
Right now, not the whole movement. Right now, who are the people that we're appealing to, especially?
Well, I think that we appeal to all people all over the world, even people that aren't even from the South. We still appeal to these people. We appeal to all the people that are all over the world, people that desire freedom. We appeal to people that want a free and independent South. We appeal to people that don't want to be ruled over by the federal government. We appeal to people that don't want the heel of the federal government on their neck. We appeal to all people. But that being said, we're always for the Southern people. We're always for the Southern people. And then there's people that are in England. There's people that are in Ireland. There's people that are in Hungary. There's people in Poland. All these people all over the world that all sympathize with our cause. All people realize that we are for the Southern people. At the same time, we're for the white Christian man, and we stand up for Southern Christian values and things. So it doesn't matter if you're in South Africa. It doesn't matter if you're in Australia. It doesn't matter if you're in Hungary. It doesn't matter if you're in England. It doesn't matter. You know, we are still for you. We're still for you. And all these people are still part of our cause.
Yeah, so you mentioned one specific that really touched my heart, the white Christian man. They're the ones with the target on their back right now, especially. They're the ones that are getting attacked on the street. We've seen these monsters come up behind them with bricks in their hands and just knocking them out in our country. And what would you say to these young men right now?
Well, what I would say to these young men right now is the time to stand firm and stand strong. Now is not the time to be, I'm trying to think of a way to put this. It starts with a P and ends with a Y. But now is not the time to be that. Right now is the time for men to be men, folks. Right now is the time to fight and fight like hell. We're at war right now. If you don't realize that we're at war right now, then something is seriously wrong with you. If you don't realize that we're at war, then you're missing the big picture. Right now, we're at war. The problem is that on one side's fighting, and you ain't. You know, the opposition is fighting you and battling you day in and day out. They're fighting you with all that they have, and you're setting their idol. Right now it's time for men to be men. Right now it's time for men to fight that fight and be warriors and do what God has called upon you to do. Right now is your opportunity to leave your legacy. All that you have in life is your legacy. Once you're dead and gone, all you have left is just your legacy. And now is the time for men to be men amongst men. So men, do your duty and be men amongst men. Right now is the time for us to stand firm. Right now is the time for us to stand firm and fight. And we have to stand firm and fight, and we have to do what God Almighty has called us to do. God Almighty has called us to fight the good fight of faith, and that's what we're doing right now. We have to stand firm and fight. And we have to fight. And anytime the enemy punches you, you have to punch back.
Is there a fight without getting angry?
Well, it's not about anger, sir. There should be anger. It should be a righteous anger.
Amen. Jesus grabbed a whip.
Anger. There's a righteous anger that should be felt right now. If you're not angry right now, if you're not angry, you ain't a man. If you're not angry, there's something wrong with you. Because God Almighty should be placing on your heart the righteous anger of Jesus Christ. If you're not mad right now, What does it take? What does it take to make you angry at this point? What does it take? What does it take? Well, what's going to make you mad? I mean, homosexuals are in your street. Pedophilia is in your street. They're doing all this shit. What does it take to make you angry, sir? What does it take? What makes you mad? How many slaps in the face does it take for you to be angry? Are you not angry? If you're not angry with a righteous anger of Jesus Christ, something is wrong with you.
Well,
if you're not angry, you have a problem.
I'm angry because we can't get a single guest in here with any passion. I mean, we need somebody that can show some human emotion. I mean, are these freaking people dead up here? When I came up here, I thought we were going to get some people that were like firebrands. But what do we got? This guy right here, he could barely, I can hardly hear him. For his low voice. No, I'm just kidding. People, I think this guy, I think he might be, I'll just call him Joe. I think he might stole the show today, folks. I really do. I mean, it sounds like Eddie Miller when I was in my younger days. That's a wonderful job. Well, you know, let me ask you a question, Tim. What would you tell Joe, whatever the hell your name is? You know, what would you tell the young people that said, "Well, you know, I just got this new job. I just got out of college. I got this new job. Maybe I'll join next year. Maybe I'll help 2 years now. But I don't want to sacrifice my future right now." Do you think that future? What's your opinion on that?
My advice to young people would be, you know what? You only live once, and time goes by so fast. So my advice to young people would be to do something and make a name for yourself and leave a legacy. There's nothing else better that you could do other than fight like hell. If you want to get the girl, if you want to impress the girl, let me tell you something. I mean, Massa Tim got the girls, and Dr. Hill gets the girls, and Eddie Miller can get the girls. If you want to get the girls, yeah, here you go, Eddie.
What's upon time?
All right, be impressive. If you want to impress the girls, be a man. You know, the main thing is that women love to see a man that's got a little bit of guts and gonads. But no matter what, always take a stand for what you believe in, and never back down. Never, ever, ever back down. You know, I never back down from anything. You know, if you want to fight, then I'll offer you the competition. I'll fight. You know, I'll fight. Here's the challenge. If you want to fight, we'll fight. The same way, you know, with this, we're fighting the good fight of faith right now, and we want to always do what's best for our people, and leave yourself a legacy, make a legacy for yourself. You know, there's no better way to be a man than to fight the good fight of faith. And leave a legacy, impress everybody, do what's right, always fight the good fight.
You know, to quote Dr. Hill and to quote the great General Nathan Bedford Forrest, he said, and I'll paraphrase, he said, "War means fighting, and fighting means killing." You know, and people will say, "Oh, you're trying to promote a civil war." No, we see a civil war coming, and these people tonight said we are in a civil war. You know, people, sooner or later, you know it's going to happen. You can't keep denouncing, you know, peace. You can't keep saying peace, peace, peace. Sooner or later, it's happened in every nation in the world since Adam and Eve, man. Since I guess we're about to run out of time, but I'm going to ask the guest one more question. How close are we to people coming in our homes, taking our guns? How close are we to battling in the streets? How close are we to having to fight to live? You said leave legacy, but I'm talking about just living to keep these people from killing us. How much time do we have?
I think that we're very close. I think that it's knocking on our door right now. I mean, and it's time for our people to stand up and do what's right and fight the good fight and take a stand for what's right.
Well spoken. Thank you so much. We've run completely out of time. This has been one amazing interview tonight. As you can tell, me and I have been swapping in and out. Matt's got to eat. I just got to eating. And well, listen, God willing, we'll see y'all next same time, same place. Next week, we'll be back in America, and we'll be carrying the station from there. Thank you so much, Dr. Hill. Thank you so much, Joe. And anyway, people, we preach violence here, but we're not going to sit here and get ourselves killed. We're not going to let our kid get killed. Well, tonight, thank you, Sam. Thank you, Dr. Thank you, everybody, for coming on tonight. Thank you, Joe. Good night, people.